also in the book of John. Isaiah and John. Isaiah chapter 57. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I'll read it to you one more time. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I want to preach to you with the help of God on a message entitled, There is a Place. There is a Place. Let us pray. Reverend Hill, sir, would you please pray over our message and messenger? Good to be in church this morning. Looking forward to just some good time. You know, it should be a criminal what ladies put their husbands through on the day before Thanksgiving, because all day long my wife was cooking yesterday and wouldn't let us eat any of it. She gave us a little bit of scalloped potatoes just to kind of keep us happy. So that ought to be criminal, but today we're looking to throw down. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord and just enjoying everybody's presence. Not just the food, just the presence of the brothers and sisters. I did hear, though, that during this coronavirus deal, that the number one voted Thanksgiving food is mashed potatoes. I got to fill in for Brother Groves and gives you my corny joke. Mashed potatoes. I read to you from the book of Isaiah, and it's an interesting verse depending on how you read it. Interesting no matter what. But God said, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Now, eternity is not a place. It's a forever. Amen? If I say go to eternity, there's not a place that we can go to called eternity. Amen? So it's saying that God is in our past, he's in our present, he's in our future. He inhabits everywhere. But then he begins to speak about a place. He said, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. So now we know that he's with us in the past, he's with us in our present, he's with us in our future, but there's a place where God is. Now when you read the next verse, I want you to think about it carefully, next section of the verse. He says, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Now I got to ask you a question. Does this mean that God is in this place? And those that are of a contrite and humble spirit are with him? Or could it be that he's saying he also is with those who have a contrite and humble spirit? You could really read it both ways, couldn't you? And the truth of the matter is, it's really going to apply both ways, isn't it? Today, those who are of a contrite and humble spirit, God delights to be with. He wants to be with us. And one day we will be with him forever in heaven and in the place that he has for us to labor. But I want you to think about this for a second. There is a place of blessing and a place of cursing. We sometimes think about collateral damage. It's like when a bomb is sent down into a foreign nation. Perhaps it's a bomb-making facility. and they blow that bomb-making facility up. It's something that should have been gotten rid of, something that was going to bring destruction. And yet sometimes there is damage in the surrounding neighbors. Maybe a child or a man or a woman that wasn't involved ends up dying because of collateral damage. A sad thing. And then we begin to think about the collateral damage in the spiritual realm. You see, there's a place of blessing, but there's also a place that brings judgment and cursing and bad things. In our own city, how many times have we heard a young 12-year-old was shot and killed by drive-by shooting? Little 4-year-old girl not too long ago, laying in her bed, shot by a stray bullet. Did she deserve to go through that? No. She was really in a place where perhaps they were doing the wrong thing. She was innocent, but she ended up being collateral damage. So sad. So sad. And so oftentimes we find Jesus talking to people about leaving certain places. We find him talking about leaving certain places. We find him talking about needing to go through certain places. Concerning Samaria, he said he must needs go through Samaria. He needed to get to that place because in that place there was somebody who was looking for answers. And we know the woman at the well found what she was looking for. So geography, in one sense, is important. But when we speak about geography in the sense of a place of blessing or a place of cursing, we're not talking about desert, mountains. Not because you live in an area where it's temperate climate, is it blessed? Nor if you live in an area that's very hot, are you closer to hell? Amen? For those who are from Arizona, right? It's not the case. So the geography that we're speaking about, typically there is a blessing or a cursing upon that area because of the choices that the people in that area have made. And so we find that God told Abraham to leave his father's house, set out for a new land. Hey, you got to get out of what's going on there. I've got a place for you. I want you to leave all of your relatives who are idol worshipers, all of your relatives who are do not know the true God. I'm going to bring you to a place of blessing. Now, again, that place that he lived in, it wasn't bad because of the dirt. It wasn't bad because of the geography or the topography. It was bad because the people in that place made decisions to lock God out of their life. And whenever you make a decision to lock God out of your life, you bring a sense of cursing to you. There's collateral damage. You see, you can't live out a place doing the wrong thing 40 hours a week and wonder why 2 hours in church won't sort you out on Sunday. Let me say that again. You can't live in a place spiritually, doing the wrong things, believing the wrong stuff 40 hours a week or more, and then come to church and try and expect God to get you all in the right situation. It just doesn't work that way. God will not bless you just anywhere. He'll bless you if you're where he wants you to be. Have you ever noticed that when you're with certain, have you ever noticed that certain people, matter of fact, my son and somebody he was talking to, they were talking about this individual. And wherever the individual goes, they fit in. Not in a good sense. So when they're around the Christians, they can put on a good Christian show. But when they segue around their worldly friends, you couldn't tell that they were a Christian. And when they get around others, they just kind of pretend like they're one of them. And my son, you know, young man, he's seeing all of this and saying, wow, they just kind of fit in wherever they're at in a negative sense. Well, it works both ways. Sometimes we can go to a place that will challenge us to live higher. And sometimes we can go to a place that will try to pull us down to their level. I've seen it in churches. I was preaching revival, and right before I went to conference, there was a revival service in the state of New York. And we were there. We had good services. And then we went to conference. And at the conference, they asked me to preach. And we preached at conference. We had a good time. The pastor came up to me afterwards from the New York church. Now, he's not there anymore. It's a different pastor, so just so you know. But he came up to me afterwards and said, "Man, why didn't you preach like that," concerning the way we preached at conference, "at the church where we were in New York?" And I didn't say it, but I wanted to say, "Why didn't you create an atmosphere like that? Because where you are affects you," amen? And you can get around some people and you can't help but lift up those hands and say, "Jesus is so good." You can get around some churches, you can't help but lift up your voice and say, "Man, I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven." You get around some people, you can't help but say, "Jesus is so good to me," because there's an atmosphere there. Now, when I was a newer Christian, I picked up on this, and I wanted to be in an atmosphere that would be a blessing to me. I liked to be around folks that were spiritual. I liked to be in churches where they would challenge me. Maybe they had prayer meetings and go soul winning. And I knew that sometimes my own flesh is a little lazy if I'm not careful. And so let me get into an atmosphere that will push me to do what I'm supposed to do. That'll say, "Let's go soul winning." That'll say, "Let's go to the prayer meeting." And I also saw there were times that I could get into a different atmosphere where they weren't as, what's the right word? They weren't as gung-ho for God. And they were kind of sitting back. And they were kind of relaxing. Saved, yes. On the way to heaven, yes. Love God, yes. But their atmosphere didn't challenge you to do the best. I want to be in an atmosphere. Now, that was when I was a younger Christian. Then eventually I realized I can create an atmosphere that I don't have to depend upon somebody else. It's kind of like being a kid. When you're a kid and you're in your parents' house, you got to go by their rules. And there's not a whole lot you can do to change the atmosphere. Perhaps in your own room, but not in the whole atmosphere of the house, because you're not the one paying the bills. You're not mom. You're not dad. And so you have to kind of go along with the atmospheres there. But when you get a chance to move out and start getting to your own place, you have a chance, "I'm going to create a different atmosphere." Now, some choose to create a different atmosphere that's wrong. Others choose to create a different atmosphere that's holy and that's wholesome and that's godly. And you go to their house and you want to sit down. It feels good to be there. It's got a nice spiritual fragrance. Amen? It's clean, not just physically, but it's clean spiritually. And yet you can go to other places and you just can't stand it. There's a stench about it. There's a bad atmosphere there. They've been doing the wrong things. God is not welcome in that place. Brother, I don't want to have a place like that. I don't want to create an atmosphere like that. Whether it be in our church, whether it be in my family, whether it be in my home, whether it be among my friends, I want to have a place, be a place, and provide a place where people can get closer to God. God has promised us favor to bless us, but sometimes we have to change our spiritual address to get it. He's not going to feed you if you're sitting in the pig pen. The prodigal son walked away from the father's house. It wasn't a lack of food. He was just in the wrong place. He chose to do the wrong things. And as long as he continued down that pathway, he wasn't going to get fed. But the minute he said, "Let me go home. Man, I like this." The minute he said, "Let me go back." The minute he said, "Let me go back to my father's house." Man, there was clothes. There was food. There was a job to do. There was a family that loved him. Brother, I'm telling you, it's time to get out of your place and come on home. It's time to leave that place where the devil wants you and come on home. And make no mistake about it. There is a place that the devil loves. We preached about it maybe a year or so ago. The country the devil loves. It was a place, you remember, where Jesus went to Gadara. And there at Gadara, he found the man that was filled with demons. He was filled with demons, so many that they called him Legion. Meaning there's so many that we can't even count them all. And Jesus went there and he cast the demons out. And the demon said, "Don't ask us to leave this place. We like it here. let us go into the pigs. Now, you understand a little bit more about Jewish background. They weren't supposed to be eating swine, no less raising it. So here we find a bunch of people that were living in disobedience. No wonder why the devil liked that country. He didn't want to live. Because the devil has a stronghold in a place where people don't obey God's word. The devil has a stronghold in the heart or the mind of a people that refuse to obey. The devil has a stronghold. Sometimes you're talking about the grip that some habit has on you. It's not the grip that the habit has on you. You just need to obey God and you'll find the power of God will flow and set you free. There are places that are spoiled because of disobedience. This particular man, in this particular place, we'll just go to this one, all right? Some of these things, amen. Right in the middle of good stuff, right? Just like the devil. Can you shout for just a second? Let me take this thing off. Amen? All right. I get to take the jacket off, too. Good to be in church. There is a place that gets spoiled by unbelief. Think about this. The Bible said Jesus could do no mighty work there. Why? Because of their unbelief. It wasn't because of the trees. It wasn't because of the creek. It wasn't because of the hills. It was because it became a place of unbelief. A bunch of people that refused to believe that God could do miracles. A bunch of people that refused to believe that Jesus was the Savior. And because of that, Jesus' hands were tied. I'm telling you, it's important who you hang around. I'm telling you, it's important who... where you make your spiritual place. And if it's around a bunch of people who don't believe that God still heals, who don't believe that God still does miracles, you need to get out of that place. A bunch of people that don't believe in, I'm going to get to it in a second. Let me go on. Jesus led the blind man out of the city. Why? Because that city had been cursed. They refused to believe. And so if this man was going to get a miracle, he had to come out of that place and get to where he could be in a place where God would do a miracle for him. Jesus led him out of that place of unbelief. Your surroundings have an effect on you. That's why the Bible said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because sinner friends do not aid you in your Christian walk. They will tear down God. They will make fun of God. They will make fun of your giving. They will make fun of your dressing. They will make fun of your living. They will make fun of your righteousness. They will make fun of what you choose to do. And so you cannot get your input from those who do not know Christ. They got a different father than you do. They are of the devil. That's their father. Why would you have friendship with someone who is a son of somebody that wanted to kill your God? Think about it. There's a place that's spoiled by disobedience. There was no power to deliver him there. A place spoiled by unbelief, and there's a place spoiled because of worldliness. When John Bunyan wrote his book, Pilgrim's Progress, there was a city there called Vanity Fair, and they were so concerned about all of their blessings and their dress and their clothes and everything, they didn't care about souls, the work of God. Now, we need material things. You need to get back and forth. You need to clothe yourself, and you should do it as best as you can with clean clothes and appropriate garments. That shouldn't be our life. And they were spoiled to the place where they had no concern. We read of the destruction of Rome and that the leader at the time, Nero, history says he was playing the fiddle while the city burned down. He was more concerned about his own pleasure, his own enjoyment, than he was about everybody around and about them. Spoiled by worldliness, spoiled by their surroundings. In the book of Revelation, God warns the believers concerning spiritual Babylon. He says, come out of them. They were crying because of their loss of income. They were crying because of their loss of all the things, this great city that had given them so much spices and money and everything. And they're weeping. God's bringing judgment on it. They're crying for the thing God hates. Do you begin to see this? How we can get around the wrong group and we can be in the wrong place spiritually can mess your thinking up. You can cry over the things that God detests. And you can rejoice over the things that God hates. But all of that to say, just like there's collateral damage, you know there's collateral blessings too? Sometimes you can be in the right place and somebody else is getting blessed. And some of that blessing just kind of overflows on you. You can get in a church service and man, the brother next to you, he's shouting and he's rejoicing. And suddenly you start to shout and rejoice. You can get into a church service and feel the presence of God. Maybe you were down. Maybe you were sick. Maybe you felt just drug out. But you get in the presence of God and suddenly there's a different atmosphere. A collateral blessing. God's blessing somebody and some of those other blessings are just falling on you. Listen to what God said. He said, arise, go up to Bethel. That word Bethel meant the house of God. He said, I want you to go to that place. That's where I met you. That's where I gave you the promise. You've been living down here in disobedience. You've been doing your own thing. But I've got a place of blessing. And brother, I believe that's true today. God has a place of blessing. You've got to come out of your sin. Come out of the world. Get to where God wants you to be. Get among the Christians. Get in the house of God. Get among the saints of God. And say, God, I've got to have you do something in me. It's a place where your needs are met. Well, while Peter was hanging around Jesus, he had taxes that were due. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Just go fishing. And he went fishing and pulled out a fish, had a great big coin in there, paid the taxes for him, paid it for Jesus. It's a place where the needs were met. It's a place where there was joy. The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. It didn't matter if he had a position or not. It didn't matter if he was the deacon, the pastor, the first mother, the second mother, all that. It didn't matter to him. He said, just let me be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Because if I can just be around the people of God, if I can be around the place where God is, I'll get some of those blessings that will overflow on me. My faith will be strengthened. My spirit will be encouraged. My heart will be strengthened. And I can make it. That's why the devil works so hard to keep you out of God's house. That's why if he can't stop you, he wants to minimize it. And you would stay away as long as you can once a week. It's not good enough once a week. I don't eat once a week. I eat once every couple hours. Amen. Amen. Food is a good friend. Amen. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so back to where we began, God said, I dwell in the high and holy place with them. Whether that's God coming to where we are, whose hearts are contrite and humble, or we're dwelling in his presence. Listen to what the Bible said. In his presence is fullness of joy. Listen to what the Bible said. He said, I've got a place right here by me. You know, I don't think the devil's going to get you when you're right there at the feet of Jesus. I don't think you need to worry about your haters. I don't think you have to worry about the virus. I don't think you have to worry about this, that, and the other. When you're right there at the feet of Jesus, there is a place. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You're here today.